Okay, so let's jump into our next major section here in this issue of Materia Medica Monthly here, talking about calendula and get into our clinical patterns and uses. So this is really where everything we've talked about so far really starts to come together. And I misplaced my pen and we'll go red. So this is going to be clinical patterns. Now, I like that term better than uses, because uses would say calendula is good for ulcers, lymphatic swelling, painful menses, and skin wounds, right? That's uses. Clinical patterns is, it allows you to paint a picture for the whole set of things going on in someone where that remedy is going to be most beneficial. So I like that terminology, clinical patterns, instead of uses, because to me, clinical patterns starts to bring together all of the information that you've learned so far into what it actually looks like in a person, right? So sometimes just having that picture can be really, really beneficial so that when it's in front of you, you know what it's gonna look like. So let's talk about number one here, food intolerance, leaky gut syndrome, and what I call antibiotic trauma. It's a term I've been using lately because I pretty much see it in every single client that I see, and I see that it's an underlying pattern that has to be corrected before other issues they're struggling with are gonna actually get better. So, okay, so what we have here is a major pattern that is afflicting a large population of at least Western culture, because that's really all I know in terms of practicing clinically, because of the overuse of antibiotics, the ingestion of genetically modified, processed, artificially colored, flavored, pesticide-ridden food, to the processed foods in the sense of the foods that we've tinkered with the most. And this kind of leads into the food intolerance discussion, which is a really big discussion. One could do a whole workshop just on this subject alone. So I'm not going to go into too much detail on it, but I want to kind of paint the picture for you here. So what this pattern looks like essentially is that anytime someone takes an antibiotic, basically, it's like an atom bomb, right? It just goes in there and it nukes everything, right? It doesn't care who the good guys are or who the bad guys are. It just kills everything, right? And inclusive of that massive bacterial wipeout is the beneficial flora within our digestive system. Now, within our gut, we have this vast ecosystem of beneficial bacteria that are a critical part of our immune system, our lymphatic system, our nervous system, our endocrine system, and obviously our digestive system. It's huge, and that importance of that bacterial ecology is becoming more and more well known and studied and documented, and luckily incorporated into our practice of alternative and standard allopathic medicine as well. So what ends up happening is that the antibiotic goes in there and it kind of wipes out all of that beneficial bacteria. Now, that bacteria is lining the entire gut wall and serves as kind of the first line of defense for our immune system, and is basically screening what gets to go into the body and what needs to not go into the body. And what ends up happening is that people can develop what we call leaky gut syndrome, which is just what it sounds like, right? You have this gut wall that's nice and strong and firm and semi-permeable, and now all of a sudden kind of the permeability increases and you end up with these gaps in the lining of the gut that's going to allow larger than normal compounds to cross the gut wall. Things that shouldn't cross the gut wall do cross the gut wall and enter the body. And essentially, from an immunological perspective, our immune system sees that and is like, whoa, that's foreign, we need to attack, right? And so what that initiates is an inflammatory process. Now you have inflammation locally within the digestive system, but also systemically. This is really important because what they're saying in modern medicine now is that most of the degenerative diseases that are afflicting most of Western culture come back to inflammation as the root cause. But they fail to ask, what's the cause of the inflammation? And this is the cause of the inflammation, right? Is the antibiotic trauma, the leaky gut syndrome, and then you throw an intolerant or an allergenic food on top of that, such as gluten and dairy and soy. And those are kind of the three big ones. Some people tend to be allergic to corn or nightshades or sometimes eggs. But what we see is a systemic inflammatory response that's triggered that can manifest as a whole slew of symptoms, from eczema to joint pain to psychological depression or anxiety, asthma, to even very intense autoimmune conditions like lupus or fibromyalgia and things like that. So ultimately, what's happening here is that you have the leaky gut syndrome, you have a food intolerance getting put on top of that, you end up with a hyper-inflamed digestive system, a hypersensitive immune system, and systemic inflammatory response. Now, what's going to happen there is that is too many things are crossing the gut wall, your liver has to deal with all of that stuff, right? So your liver is all of a sudden getting flooded with all of this stuff that normally it doesn't have to process, and it has to process it. So now you end up with liver stagnation and portal circulation stagnation. And because the immune system is so active and there's so much inflammation, what you end up having is lymphatic swelling in the gut. And this is what's behind kind of the classic beer belly or gluten belly, right? That digestive bloating, that distension of the gut is ultimately lymphatic swelling and lymphatic congestion. So there we start to see, like, now think of calendula and how calendula fits into that pattern so beautifully, right? So we'll change colors here. So here we see, first and foremost, the vulnerary and astringent action of calendula is going to really assist in healing and repairing the leaky gut, right? It's going to help to tighten and tonify the gastric tissues to bring the tone and structure back, to kind of seal the wall off, so to speak. Or, you know, if we think of it, it's kind of like a wound in the gut. So that vulnerary wound healing astringent property is going to be very, very beneficial for bringing the gastric tissue back together and giving it the strength that it needs. Then we see the lymphagogue action is going to be very beneficial for the lymphatic congestion and the bloating that often accompanies the ingestion of an intolerant food, as well as excessive inflammation in the gut. Then we see, again, it's inflammation modulating. I'm just going to abbreviate that. So the inflammation modulating action of calendula is going to help to kind of sedate that excessive excitable response within the gut. So we see the inflammation modulating aspect very, very beneficial there. Then we see the bitter tonic action being very beneficial for the liver, right? Because remember, the liver is overwhelmed and needs a little help to process all of that. Not to mention, the bitter tonic action is just a great all-around supportive mechanism for digestion as a whole, and people that have this problem always have some sort of digestive issue, whether that's gas, bloating, belching, constipation, diarrhea, any manner of digestive imbalance is going to be coming alongside this pattern. It's pretty much guaranteed. And that's actually, just to share real quick, that's what they call, I learned this from the great herbalist Paul Bergner. He calls it the food intolerance triangle, where you have a GI symptom, you have a musculoskeletal system like joint pain, and then you have a mood or energy symptom, low energy, fatigue, irritability, frustration, depression. The musculoskeletal can also be like a skin issue like eczema. That what they call the food allergy triangle. And typically people with this pattern will have a symptom in each of those sectors of the triangle there. That's a key clinical skill, very, very important. And calendula hits it on all of these different levels. So you can start to see how incredible this remedy is on all of that, right? So that's clinical pattern number one. Be sure to, beneath this video here, there's a PDF that has all of my notes on this, where I explain a lot of this in a little bit more detail. I'm sure there's some things that are in that PDF that are not, that I'm not saying in the video. So be sure to download the PDF and read through that. I think there's like 25 pages in there just on this one plant. And I think that's really awesome. I feel really good about giving that to you for free, because who else does 24 pages on one plant? I can't tell you how many herb books I have, and I open it up and I'll maybe get this much, or a couple bullet points, a couple paragraphs at the most. So I feel really awesome that we got 24 pages just on calendula alone here. Okay, so our next clinical pattern is gonna be immune deficiency and lymphatic swelling, right? That much should be obvious. Now, the thing that, so there's a couple different layers to this pattern. So the first layer is the acute pattern, right? This would be someone has an acute flu or cough or cold, you know, they're acutely sick. They have lymphatic congestion. You can feel the lymph nodes are swollen here in the neck or under the armpits or in the inguinal crease. It's great. Matthew Wood always says, and there's another herbalist that he learned this from. I can't remember his name. It's in the notes though. But he calls this herbal sunshine, right? Herbal sunshine. And he says it's specific for the places where the sun don't shine, right? All those lymph nodes where the sun doesn't really hit. So in an acute situation, calendula is great because it's going to warm up the system, typically in some sort of viral influenza or just a common cold. The tissues are typically cold, right? That there's typically a coldness there. When we see fever, though, there's going to be a reflex heat, but that heat is a vital response, an intelligent response of the body trying to basically cook out whatever is in there. We actually want to support that process. This is why you never, ever suppress a fever, whether either with a drug or with an herb. Luckily, most of our fever herbs are diaphoretics, which actually help a fever. Now, I didn't mention it earlier, but calendula is actually a mild stimulant diaphoretic that's beneficial in an acute fever. That pungent warming aspect of it is very, very beneficial there as well. Of course, the lymphagogue action, very beneficial for cleansing the lymphatic system, relieving swelling and congestion in the lymph, as well as any inflammation that's going along with that swollen lymph node, which can sometimes be very painful. If you've ever had a swollen lymph node, sometimes they're very painful to touch, kind of hurts to move your neck or your arms or things like that. So that kind of complex of actions of calendula, very, very good there. And of course, it does have some antibacterial actions as well. So it's beneficial in the acute situation, but where I really like to use calendula is the post-acute phase. And this is basically the phase where you got sick, right? It lasted, a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then you get over it. You're not sick anymore, right? Or at least you don't feel sick anymore, but there's just that residue, right? There's just that residual funky feeling, right? Where you're just like, I'm not sick anymore, but I don't like feel that great, you know? Maybe there's a little cough, or maybe the lymph nodes are still swollen a little bit. Energy level's really low. You feel heavy and tired and sluggish, right? Well, what is that, right? The way I think of it is basically it's the system is toxic, right? That this not toxic like poisoned, but right? But it's congested with metabolic waste products, right? That, you know, if you think of it, after you get sick, after you recover from some sort of acute illness like that, that your body is like the post-battlefield, right? Like Braveheart, you know? It's like you got this post-battlefield with the dead and dying and wounded all around. We gotta clean that up, right? That you know, you gotta move all of that debris out of the system so that your body can get back on track, basically, right? So if you think of, you know, think of the circulatory system, if your bloodstream is filled with dead white blood cells and viral cells and bacterial cells and cellular debris and metabolic waste products, well, it's going to be really hard for your cells to receive the oxygen they need, the nutrients they require, as well as for them to expel their own waste products, right? Just from basic metabolism. So this is where the alteratives come in and to the rescue, and calendula is a great remedy here to remember that whole picture I just described is the damp stagnation tissue state, right? That is the damp stagnation tissue state, or what in Ayurveda they would call ama, or excess kapha in the tissues. So calendula is going to warm, disperse, thin those fluids, kind of purge the lymphatic system, help the liver to metabolize and process all of that, and to just move it out through the skin, through the GI, through the liver and the lymph, and just kind of cleanse the whole system out in that way. So very, very beneficial use of calendula. I often like to use it in formula in that way. And again, this is often a time where you'll kind of see that yellow discoloration and that puffy, swollen tongue there will be a pretty key indication there. So you have that, but then you also have maybe just the people that get sick all the time, right? That they never really seem like they have that good, strong, vital immune system. Maybe they're always cold. Calendula can be a great remedy there. And I would like to formulate it in that kind of a situation with some of the deeper acting immune tonics like astragalus or reishi or codenopsis or some of those other kind of revitalizing qi tonics to build up their vital force and to warm up their system and make them a little more resistant to any potential pathogenic invasion, so to speak. So, okay, third pattern here, pretty straightforward one, wound healing. Now, as we mentioned, calendula has this great vulnerary astringent property that's very great for dressing topical wounds. So this is a key area where you want to use calendula. Cuts, scrapes, puncture wounds, lacerations, you name it, calendula is great. It's going to prevent infection from settling in. And I love the way Matthew Wood describes calendula is that it's not just healing the wound superficially up here, but it's actually working underneath the surface. So when you apply calendula topically to a wound, it's not just keeping the wound clean and starting to knit the tissues together and heal the wound, but it's actually penetrating underneath the wound, making sure that the lymphatic system is clean, making sure that the immune system is able to achieve its function and kind of healing from the ground up, right? So it works at a deeper level of an injury and works up from there. And I juxtapose that with an herb like comfrey, which is the opposite. Comfrey heals from the top down, and that's why you don't want to use comfrey in very deep lacerations or puncture wounds, because it'll just heal the top of the wound and it'll seal the rest in, that will basically allow pus formation and fluid stagnation. The wound isn't able to breathe, and that creates a situation where you can get a deeper infection and potentially sepsis, blood poisoning, which is very serious. That's no joke. So I tend to like calendula over comfrey most of the time. Comfrey is great for just kind of your superficial wounds, but for a deeper wound, I really tend to like calendula. Now, there's some differentials there. St. John's wort, really specific for puncture wounds. Yarrow, really specific for hemorrhaging, or, you know, wounds that are just kind of spurting and bleeding all over the place. I remember I actually had an accident. I was splitting firewood and cut my foot really bad with an, or my ankle, with an axe, and it was pretty bad. And my wife ran and got some yarrow, and we just slapped some yarrow on it. Man, that bleeding stopped like that. It was amazing. I've heard some crazy stories of, you know, chainsaw wounds being packed with yarrow and the bleeding stops. It's amazing. The other remedy there, plantain, great wound remedy, great in combination with calendula. I tend to like those two together. And actually, we'll explore a formula with calendula and plantain a little bit later on that first clinical pattern there, the gut restoration side. So wound healing, very, very critical clinical pattern to look for calendula. Works great topically as a salve or an infused oil to that, in that regard there, as well as a succus. We'll talk about that a little bit later too. But here, we want to see, any wound is really applicable there, but specifically when there's a lot of heat, redness, inflammation, irritability, and swelling and moisture accumulation, calendula will not do you wrong there. I guess I've got room for the next one here, which we see female reproductive system. We'll just say menses, specifically amenorrhea and dysmenorrhea. So amenorrhea would be lack of menses, dysmenorrhea would be painful menses. And as we mentioned earlier, throughout Europe, this was one of the major uses of calendula. But you want to think, we got to remember our five keys, right? We got to remember specifically the energetic key, right? And remembering the energetic quality of calendula is that it's warming. So we want to specifically use it when a woman is lacking her menses and has a cold constitution. She tends toward fluid stagnation, not just in the menses, but maybe systemically. We want to look for that pale skin, you know, the fluid accumulation signs in the tongue and in the pulse, etc. So I just mentioned this again here to reiterate the energetics and how a woman can be lacking her menses for a lot of reasons, right? And her menses can be painful for a lot of different reasons, for a different underlying tissue state, right? So if you're going to apply calendula for amenorrhea or dysmenorrhea, you have to do your work up on that person to make sure that they have a cold, depressed tissue state, or a damp, stagnant tissue state, or a kapha constitution. You want to make sure that they don't have, you know, too much tension, too much dryness, etc. So you got to just be aware of the energetics and the constitution before you apply a remedy in that way. So this is another great clinical pattern to be aware of, where you might consider using calendula. The last one here is liver detoxification. Now, there's been some research showing that calendula can actually lower raised liver enzyme levels. Now, when liver enzymes are high, it's not a good sign. It's typically a sign of something like viral hepatitis or something like that. So that's a pretty powerful action there for calendula, in which it can be, you know, I wouldn't say calendula is my first go-to remedy for liver detoxification, but it is good to know that it does have that action. You know, in that regard, I would probably formulate it with other herbs that have maybe a stronger action on the liver, something like Oregon grapefruit, dandelion root, turmeric root, maybe some protective, hepatoprotective remedies like milk thistle, schizandra, and kind of create a formula around that. But calendula could be a great part of that formula because, remember, it has these side actions. It's not just working on the liver, as we've seen, right? That it's working on strengthening digestion and healing digestion and cleansing the lymph. And all of that is a great side benefit, as kind of secondary actions that are great things to consider when you're looking at the whole picture of liver detoxification. And I say that because it's critical. It's really easy to tunnel vision in on one thing, right? It's really easy to tunnel vision on one thing and say, okay, we're going to treat the liver. And then all of a sudden you're just looking at the liver and you forget to look at what are the other organs the liver is connected to, right? The liver is a part of an entire intelligent system. And this is one of the arts of formulating, where you see how what other systems need support, what other organs need other actions that are going to benefit the whole pattern that you're operating on there. So those are the five kind of key, what I see as being the five key patterns that you might consider using calendula. I've been using it a lot for that first pattern because, again, I pretty much universally, everyone I see has some form of food intolerance, has antibiotic trauma, and likely has leaky gut syndrome as well. And it works very, very well to that end.